Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications, invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org, Ship Store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
As Beth said, this is AGLCA's weekly blog radio show. With us today is Steve, who's going to be our technician, and I'm Janice, the director. For the non-members listening out there, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways, the Great Lakes, the beautiful Canadian Heritage Canals, and of course the inland rivers of our heartland. Our association is an organization of people who share the sense of adventure and a curiosity about the loop. Our primary purpose is to give everyone information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to visit and become a member. If you choose not, however, there's loads of free information on that website, so just use it as much as you like. I'm very, very happy to tell you that our guest host this week is Captain Patty Moore, a very, very valued AGLCA sponsor, SeaSense. SeaSense specializes in training men, women, and families to cruise their boats. They specialize in both sail and power boats. Captain Patty just returned from a training cruise from Hammond, Indiana, on the Calumet River to Green Turtle Bay in Kentucky. Everyone out there is very, very anxious about the status of our river system. Patty is going to be able to tell us firsthand what's really out there. If anyone has any questions or comments during the show, feel free to call in. Our toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Good morning, Captain Patty. Thank you again for being on the show.
Good morning, Janice. Thank you very much for asking me.
Our pleasure. Let's start off with the challenges. What are the main challenges for the rivers this year, do you think?
Well, the biggest thing, of course, has been the low water, the drought that's been affecting the heartland. And it definitely has affected the Illinois and the Mississippi rivers greatly, which is of concern to all of the cruisers who are coming down now. The other challenges, ongoing work at various locks, which does cause delays. And again, to go back to the drought, the fact that some of the anchorages that we consider to be there don't have enough water in them. So those are the biggest things right now. The traffic is traffic. It's always there on the rivers. But it's the drought that's the worst thing.
First, tell us a little bit about your cruise. You went from Indiana to Kentucky. How long did it take you?
We spent 11 traveling days. Some of the days were shorter than others. A couple of them were very long, which is a topic that's been coming up on the forum a lot because some of the anchorages are missing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a challenging trip this time. The last time I did it, I went down in a flood, and that was about 4 years ago, and it was a totally different river, so especially the Mississippi. But we made it. We made it safely. Other boats are making it ahead of us and behind us, so it's definitely doable.
Not to embarrass you, but did you hit bottom at all?
The only place we touched bottom was going into Ham's Marina on the Illinois River. We did not stick, but we sucked up a lot of mud into the strainers and ended up having to clean out strainers, which took us a couple hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Really sticky mud. But other than that, no, we did not. There's plenty of water in the channels. The barges are getting through. Even the ones that you hear about that are aground, they're drawing 9 feet. So for most of us, there's plenty of water. We had no trouble in the channels with depth. We had no trouble getting around the toes. They were very helpful, as always, telling us when to pass, where to pass, making sure that we all understood what was going on.
What size boat and what was her draft that you went in?
It was a 36-foot trawler. Her draft was 4'8". We told ourselves it was 5 feet just to give ourselves a fudge factor. And that's pretty much what we told marinas when we talked to them, too. We did find that there were a lot of marinas that did not have enough water for us.
Really?
Yes. We called them well in advance. We made great use of the phone. And we were checking with marinas as we went. And many of them said, we just can't get you in with your draft. So I highly advise everybody to call in advance and just double check. Yeah. And, of course, Isaac has been dumping rain, and there's more rain coming up north in Minnesota and coming across Illinois. So I don't know what that's going to do to the water levels. My information now is a week old, so.
Uh-huh. Okay. That was my next question. There are marinas. I mean, there were some marinas you could get into, or did you have to stay at anchorages the whole time?
Oh, no. We tied up a good number of times. And, yes, there are still marinas that have plenty of water. We stopped at the Wall in Joliet. We stayed in Port Charles because we had some work done on the boat, and that was just a place we wanted to go. So we did not go to Grafton or Alton, although I understand there was plenty of water in both of those marinas. We stopped at Tall Timbers, which is a delightful marina and had plenty of draft. For us, that was the last marina where we could get a pump out. I did not ask at Hoppy, so I don't know if they have pump out or not.
You know, I don't know. I never thought to ask them.
Well, Tall Timbers was the last place we found. As I said, we didn't ask at Hoppy's, but from there on, there was no place we could get into with pump out.
That's interesting to know and to keep track of.
Yeah.
Anchorages, did you have any trouble? Are there a lot of silting, or are they pretty much open? I have an update from Fern that I talked to yesterday, but in your experience, what did you find?
Well, first of all, I listened to Fern.
Everybody listens to Fern.
Yeah, listen, she's worth listening to. She really knows what she's talking about. Steve called her the river goddess, and that's a fact.
Uh-huh.
The anchorages that she said had no water in them, guess what? They had no water in them. Now, we did not go in and explore some of these. We took her at her word. But I definitely know that several of them that we passed by, we looked at carefully, and you could clearly see there was no water in there. A lot of these anchorages they talked about behind the weir dams, those weir dams are 4 or 5 feet out of the water now.
Oh.
There's not enough water behind them, I don't think. But I didn't go exploring. We were moving. We were trying to get to a destination. So we didn't take the time to go, you know, sound them out.
Sure. The locks, did you have any trouble at locks? You said some of them are under repair.
There always is a chance of delays. It depends on how much commercial traffic is ahead of you. The very best thing, again, is to call ahead. The ones that had work going on were on the Ohio, locks 53 and 52. Both had long waits to get through because only the large chamber is available. Sometimes it was not, I mean, they would pause between lockages, it seemed, to do some work on things. So, again, that was the kind of delay that we ran into. The most. There were other locks. I mean, we waited one day. We spent 6.5 hours waiting for two locks.
Oh, that's very, very, very boring.
Yeah, 4 hours at one, 2.5 at another. But you never know what you're going to run into because it just depends on what kind of traffic is ahead of you, whether, you know, what it is, whether it's commercial or whether it's pleasure boat or what.
Can I interrupt you for a minute, Patty? Stu, do you remember, was it yesterday somebody put Waterway Guide posted a site to be able to check the waiting time at locks?
Yeah.
I did not.
What Ted Stelly from Waterway Guides had provided a Corps of Engineers website that apparently lists all the waits at all the websites.
All of the locks. If you're a member, you can go to the discussion forum and do a search on waiting time or get in touch. Email Waterway Guides, a great sponsor. They have a lot of good resources. Patty, I'm going to break for a commercial, and then we'll pick up again. So just give us a minute. Thank you.
After the commercial, I have a question for Patty. So just
sure.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for joining America's Great Loop Cruisers Radio, the sponsor edition. I'm Krista Flash.
Oops, wrong ad.
I have to apologize when I always announce who's with us this morning. This is the first time we haven't had Beth, who's our technical expert on Blog Talk Radio. Steve and I decided to try it alone, so just give us a minute while we get our act together here. Our apologies.
The problem is what she wanted me to run for an ad isn't there.
Let me try it. I see it in front of me.
No, that's Trawler Fest is the one I started, and it's a 34-minute, 35-minute show.
I thought it was a 34-second. 30.
I hit the wrong one. All right, let's go.
Trawler Fest, a boat show with so much more. Thursday, May 17th through Saturday, May 19th at the Cap Sante Boat Haven in Anacortes.
Oops.
Hours are 10 to 5 daily. Enjoy hands-on demonstrations, activities, land exhibits, seminars, and a marina full of boats to board. Trawlerfest is fun for the whole family. For tickets and information, visit trawlerfest.com or call 888-487-2953. Trawlerfest is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Well, that went well.
Except it was May.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said that went well. Months or so behind, no big deal. Anyway, the question I had for you, Patty,
yes,
was, are you aware of any place you can call and line up crew for doing the Illinois and Mississippi? And I guess part of what's back there in the back of my mind is, from everything I've seen and heard, there's not much to stop for on the Mississippi except to overnight. And it seems like you've got enough crew and a watch system, you could just run 24/7 to get down the river.
That answer is going to come in two parts here. First of all, I ran into a vessel on this past trip, and he was getting crew from an organization called Crew Finders and had great luck doing it. That's one of many, I think, but I'm honestly not personally familiar with them. The second part, I would think that asking among the members of the AGLCA could be interesting, too, because I'm sure there are people who would love to crew. But
yes,
the second part of that statement about running 24/7, it's truly not something I can recommend. There are unlighted buoys and markers. There are shoals, of course. There are things floating in the water, like trees and deadheads, things like that. The big boys, of course, do run 24/7. But I personally would not do that. I'd do everything possible to avoid running after dark in the rivers.
Fair enough.
My opinion.
Well worth listening to.
Well, thank you. Patty, recommendations for cruises this year? Anything special that they... You know, Steve has mentioned, I think every year since we've done AGLCA, there's some crisis in the fall. You mentioned the flooding on the river systems. What was that, 2 or 3 years ago, and now there's a drought. Besides the drought, what would your recommendations be to have a successful trip?
You mean anywhere in the world?
No, on the river
on
system,
the
loop? Sorry.
I'm sorry?
On the river system. Coming down the river this year?
I think cruising the Tennessee and the Cumberland rivers is such an incredible side trip.
Really?
Or side trips. Oh, they are gorgeous. They're beautiful, beautiful places to go. My business partner, Carol, did a teaching trip, and she took a boat from Chattanooga to Nashville, Tennessee. And by car, that's a 2.5-hour drive. By boat, it was 650 miles. And it was absolutely fantastic. They did it in October, November. The fall colors and the foliage was gorgeous. A lot of people, you know, can't, with their insurance issues, cannot go too far south before the 1st of December. And those rivers are just amazing.
Thank you. I know we touched on this before, but anything to add on what you think Isaac is going to do to the depths? Do you think it will eventually overcome the drought or not quite get there?
I honestly don't know that we're going to get enough rain out of it to overcome the drought. I think it's going to take feet of rain to do that. Every bit of it is certainly going to help. As far as opening up anchorages that are silted in right now, I just don't think in the next few weeks or a month that that's going to happen. But
okay,
I'm not a meteorologist.
Well, I'm going to give a quick update from Fern, and then, Steve, if you have any questions, feel free to jump in. But Fern wants us to know that the Little River Diversion Anchorage is completely silted in at this point. That was a very, very popular stop for our loopers. It's mentioned often in the discussion forum. The Cascasia River at mile marker 117, 118 on the Mississippi, you can tie up with the lock master's permission. Remember, you do need permission, and she recommends you use the left bank. On the Ohio River below the Olmsted Lock and Dam, she recommends you anchor directly downstream on the lock, downstream of the lock. Stay to the right and do not go into the lock itself. The other thing that we can recommend is we are getting fantastic real-time information on the discussion forum. There was a posting this morning that gave in-depth information on anchorages. There's a lot of people going down the river system, and they've been really, really generous with sharing information. Monitor that discussion forum. If you don't know how to sign up for the Daily Digest or you want the emails individually so you get them more than just once a day, let us know, and we can tell you how to do that. And don't have anything more to say. Patty, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yes, if you don't mind, we also tied up at the Kaskaskia Lock. They put us on the outside wall of the lock. It was quite a nice place. But there was a dredge working there. Again, it's wise to call the lock master by phone in advance. The dredge was wonderfully accommodating, but he needed to know when we were coming in and going out. He may or may not still be there. The other thing that we found on the trip was rather than anchoring at the place Fern recommended, which I'm sure is fine, we were hoping to get through the first lock, which is 53. And when we called the lock master, he said, yeah, come on in, come on, and I'll be able to get you through. And when we got there, he said, in a couple of hours. Well, by then it was getting late. So we anchored outside of the red buoys that mark the high water channel that they use to go over the dam in times of flood. And there is no traffic over there. We had 12 feet of water. The holding was very good. We were downstream of the dam, which suited me fine. If I'm going to drag, I'd rather drag away from it than toward it. And that was a very nice anchorage for the night. The lockmaster, again, was very accommodating. We called him at 5:30 in the morning. He told us when he could get us through.
Fantastic. Steve, any questions?
No, I had my big one before, so...
Okay. Well, I'd like everyone to know that Captain Patty Moore of Sea Sense will be presenting at our October rendezvous in Joe Wheeler State Park. Patty gives a wonderful presentation, and this season she's going to tell us about something that I'm going to go to because I'm terrible at it, but it's Meet Your Electrical Systems. It's Wednesday, October 24th, our 9 to 10:30 session. For those people who will be in the area and don't have the ability to come to the entire rendezvous, we do sell individual seminar passes. So if you'd like to hear Captain Patty talk about your electrical system, it has to be done manually, but just give me a call, 877-478-5667, extension 5040, and we'll get you signed up to hear Captain Patty of Sea Sense. Another bit of information on the rendezvous, we only have around 40 seats left, so if you are planning on coming, please register soon. I hate to have people be disappointed, But we do fill up on that rendezvous by the third week in September usually. Visit our webpage, www.greatloop.org. And Patty, thank you so much for this show today. It's been very informative.
Thank you for inviting me. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All.
You there?